Jay Pizzy, Mosier on the beat. Look at my team, ay. Look at the ring, whoa. See what I mean, ay. You see what I mean? Look at my team, look at the ring, everything. This is a dream, all but a dream. This ain't a dream, I am a fiend for the cream, go. DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
DTC and I beat these teams and it make me feel alright.
Alright.
See, I calculate. Yeah, y'all just palpitate. Whoa, if you don't calculate, get it? Get it? Calculate. Lady Justice is illustrious. I just love this. I can put this in this function and it turns up into something. And that something came from nothing. And I sold it for a button. Now I got this lovely lump sum. Guess I'll burn these bumps like buzzing, bro.
Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafoss.
This ain't a dream, I am a fiend.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. This is episode number 201. Kind of depressing compared to last week. We had like a milestone. Now it's back to the grindstone, probably, huh, Izzy?
Yeah, I guess that's the way you want to put it.
Yeah, we're changing our pod name from the milestone to the grindstone, we're going to call it.
Anyway,
welcome to episode 201. You heard Izzy talking. That is my co-host, Izzy Elkafoss, the Pharaoh Fantasy. Find him on Twitter at DTC_IzzyE. Also back again, Nick Whalen at _Nick Whalen. Don't spell out the underscore like I do. It's actually an underscore symbol. And then Nick Whalen on Twitter. Nick, you've been fighting over getting rid of the underscore for several years, but the original Nick Whalen just will not release his clutch.
No, he claimed it, and then he was like angry at his job. He only had 5 tweets, and there's a big rig truck going on. But here's the other thing, JP, that's like the thing that's messed up is Instagram also underscore Nick Whalen because someone claimed it. And then this new thing that just got released, Clubhouse, right? Everyone's in it. It's trendy. I was like, oh. Finally, it's my time to shine. So I put in Nick Whalen, claimed. So I'm underscore Nick Whalen in everything. I might just change my legal name to underscore Nick Whalen. Then it makes sense.
These other Nick Whalens are cutting edge trendsetters, man. They're just all over the social media stuff as soon as it launches.
I'm surprised there's that many Nick Whalens.
It could be the same guy.
Dude, there's a Nick Whalen in the industry, isn't there?
Yeah.
So, true story. So just last week, I'm trying to think of who reached out to me. I'll find this out as I talk about it. But there's a guy in the basketball industry that is named Nick Whalen,
right?
And he's from Madison, and I'm from Madison. We're in the same city, same name. He's been on XM Serum. What did not Serum?
Sirius.
Sirius XM Radio for fantasy basketball. And it was Scott Barrett. He reached out to me, and he screenshot. He's like, "What the heck is this?" Yeah, and I tried to follow him one time, and like it's been cold shoulder. So I think he thinks he staked the claim of Madison, Nick Whalen, and I feel like we got to have a duel or something.
Like he didn't find it cool that you were a Nick Whalen from Madison in the fantasy industry. He found it like offensive.
Yeah, I guess so. His name is like Whalen, but then the L is like a one.
Oh, artsy. I think you guys need to have a dance-off. I want to see that. I'd pay money.
Oh, a dance-off. I like that.
I would pay money to your OnlyFans if you had that.
Oh, it's not going very well right now, so I could use any kind of deposits.
That's amazing. I'm your host, John Paul Hurley, on Twitter at FF Hercules. You want me to say something different, Izzy?
Just John Hurley. Johnny. Just go by Johnny.
Johnny. I'm Hurley. Hi, I'm Hurley. You may remember me from such episodes as 7 or 9. I don't know what else to say. Let's get started. For those of you that have been tuning in throughout the course of the last several episodes, we've been doing a fun little exercise called Cornerstone Rankings. And I think 3 episodes ago, we started with quarterbacks. Then we did running backs. This is 2 episodes ago. And then this week, we're going to do wide receivers. I don't think we're going to end up getting into tight ends. This could be the end of it, but who knows? Maybe we could feel differently. Maybe it'll be just like a little quick segment for tight ends or something, but less compelling. But anyway, cornerstone rankings. The definition would be any rookie wide receiver from last year mixed in with any rookie wide receiver from this year. And then we rank them and provide a short, brief explanation of why we have them, you know, behind or ahead of certain guys. It ends up being really fun and kind of hard, actually. So it brings up some fun conversation. So We're going to get right into it with Dynasty Cornerstone wide receivers. I'm going to go through the list so the listeners have kind of like a platform of guys we'll be talking about. There could be other guys brought into this list, but we're going to do our top 10. Currently, the Dynasty Trade Calculator rankings have these in the top 10. Again, these are rookies and basically second-year wide receivers. First overall, Justin Jefferson, followed by CeeDee Lamb at 2, T. Higgins at 3, Ja'Marr Chase at 4, Brandon Ayuk at 5, Chase Claypool at 6, Devonta Smith at 7, Jerry Jeudy at 8, Rashad Bateman at 9, and Jalen Waddle at 10. So that's kind of like our platform that we're using to premise some of this off of. Some other guys could be in the mix, like I said. So we're going to start.
So that's how they are in DTC?
That's how they are in DTC.
Okay.
We're going to start things, it's a 12-team PPR, just so you know. We'll start things off this week with Izzy. So Izzy, you get to go first. Should we go? Let's go. Do you guys feel good enough to go 10
Nick's
to 1?
Nick's always going. I mean, we got to keep we can't go quarterback and running back Nick first and then switch it. So let's just keep the same lineup. Yeah.
Is that what we did? I feel like quarterback I alternated, but that's fine. Do you guys feel good enough going 10 to 1?
Well, it leaves a little anticipation for who's going to be left out going the other way, though.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess the top of it is less surprising than the bottom of it.
I mean, the listener could leave if they know who 10 is, but they might hang on if they don't know who 10 is, you know, through the whole episode.
Yeah. Yeah, the top is less surprising than the bottom, which is kind of like how my dating life went for a while when I was single, but is that something I can say?
So my 10 are not the 10 on this list.
You have a completely different 10.
No, oh, I do. I have the same 9, but there's definitely one.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. And yeah, that's encouraged.
I have 9 out of the 10 on this list.
I think I have 8 out of 10.
So I agree with Waylon. Start at 1. So Nick Waylon, who is your number 1?
This one's pretty easy to me. We kind of alluded to this, I believe, on another podcast, or me and Izzy were just talking about it. But Justin Jefferson's number 1. He may be my number 1 dynasty-wide receiver. And again, this is a healthy thing to do, everybody. I was wrong about Justin Jefferson, his ranking and him transitioning into the NFL. He was phenomenal. What he did with 125 targets to get 1,400 yards was amazing. And I don't care what people say, Kirk Cousins is a good quarterback. He's not elite. Guess what? There's only a few of them. But I think he can, I don't know if he'll sustain 1,400 yards every year, but he'll get more targets. I think he'll be really productive.
Yeah, I agree. Izzy, who do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with Nick's sentiments. It is Justin Jefferson, and I don't think it's particularly close. We have to understand he did 1,400 yards, and he only started 14 games. Like, he was behind BC in camp and in the first 2 weeks. I think he played 50% of the snaps in the first 2 weeks. So he didn't even win the job until week 3, and he went on to break rookie receiving records. Wow. I will tell you this. I don't think I've ever seen Hurley. Now, you and I talked in the last week of August. And by all accounts, Justin Jefferson was struggling in camp.
Yep.
And he couldn't overtake BC in camp. And I was like, oh, crap. Here we go again. Another Laquon Treadwell. Can't even beat BC Johnson out. In the first 2 weeks, it's like, BC's still starting. And then I don't know how a light or a flip just switches like that. And he goes from being behind BC to setting rookie I just don't understand what the issue was the 4 weeks prior to him going crazy.
Had to be COVID summer, right?
Sure, maybe. I don't know. But what is it? Like, did he not understand the playbook? Was he not? It can't be anything physical.
It could have been just a combination of those things, like chemistry with Kirk Cousins, like confidence in the offensive, you know, play calling, maybe. Like all of it.
Well, what if he had a nagging injury we didn't know about? You know,
yeah,
this last year camp was less than any other camp. I mean, in terms of rookie mini camps transitioning, it was a lot more online learning. I mean, it was very different. So rookie transitioning in, we thought that most of them, would be less.
But the exact opposite happened. Yeah,
right.
And I think Izzy, I think we've got it. Like, I think he just always had it. And the COVID summer just delayed his start. I think had we had a regular summer with training camp and preseason, he may not have had such a slow start.
Yeah. I mean, I think it might go to show how good this class actually was.
Yeah, geez.
You know, I mean, like, they got the abbreviated version of a training camp, an OTAs and the whole thing. Did they have OTAs? They kind of did, right? It was like a...
They had like rookie ones, yep.
Yeah. I'm impressed by the entire class. I thought everybody would be slow starting and the exact opposite happened. So
yeah,
yeah, I think it's Justin Jefferson. I'd be surprised if anybody had CD or... Who else could you possibly have outside of CD over Justin Jefferson? I don't know.
Nobody.
Yeah, I think. And to Nick's point, he very well could be the wide receiver one overall.
And I'm I will also say Justin Jefferson for my one. That's pretty easy. This one's got no fireworks, but I will reiterate Nick's point and Izzy's reiteration that Justin Jefferson is already transcending towards being the dynasty wide receiver one. So I think it's kind of inevitable. Like Devontae Adams, I know there's a lot of aging vets that deserve this spot, but I would just rather have Jefferson at this point. So
let's talk about something for a second. I mentioned this on a pod and how I do, how I think about my rankings philosophically. And I feel like I might be the only one that actually thinks about it this way based on the reaction that I got from the individuals on the podcast. I look at my dynasty rankings as in 3 years, who can I see being the wide receiver one? And that's how I rank my dynasty receivers. There's no shot in hell Devontae Adams or DeAndre Hopkins or Tyreek Hill will be the wide receiver one in 3 years. And if people are playing dynasty from a 3-year window perspective, how can you possibly have one of those three guys as your wide receiver one? Like, we all agree that in 3 years, those guys will not be your wide receiver one. But if we're playing 3-year windows, let's try to find the guy that will be your wide receiver one in 3 years. I mean, that's how I do it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe my philosophy is a little, I mean, you know, Hurley, you and I have been doing this for a long time. My philosophy has changed quite a bit. I've learned a lot, obviously, over the 15 years. And I feel like this one is pretty basic. I get where people are saying, well, I'm only worried about 3 years of production. But at the same token, it's like, why wouldn't you just take the 3 years of production and retain the wide receiver one status?
Yeah. And in Jefferson's case, too, like he can probably produce, you know, close enough to Devontae Adams to make you not regret it, you know? So I don't know.
There is risk at the end of the day, boys. There is risk with Justin Jefferson.
Yes.
It's just the season that he had puts the risk, it dampens the level of risk. So it's like, will he be Michael Clayton or Mike Williams of Syracuse? I'd be shocked if that was the type of career he ended up having. But will he be DeAndre Hopkins? Probably. I mean, that's just as tough. You know, he might fall somewhere in the middle where he's a low wide receiver one for the next 8 to 10 years. And honestly, I'm okay with that being
a good floor.
His potential floor.
Well, to be fair, though, there's been a lot of young receivers that have produced and have not kept up that production. Okay. Alshon Jeffrey's one of them.
But that's due to injury, wouldn't you say? Is it? I feel like if he was durable, but yeah, go ahead.
But Allen Robinson, so he had the down year before the injury, and he's never, again, it's like this 1,400-yard plateau. Both of them have not lived back up to that hype, despite Robinson was, you know, low-end wide receiver one this year. Same thing with, who am I forgetting here? Well, Odell Beckham, right? He had a great, 3 years? And then this huge fall off. And that's the most reflective of Jefferson's stardom. Because remember, Odell had a short, he didn't do anything. He was out the first couple of games of his rookie year and then blew up. You know, so we have these huge ups and downs with either first or second year breakout receivers at times. And what we're talking about is the floor, right? The floor is lower for Jefferson versus Tyreek and whoever else. And I'm with you, Izzy. One of the things that I do in Dynasty is when guys get to be 27, 28 in terms of receiver, I try and flip them for a younger version of a guy that's going to be in that wide receiver one category for value and things like that. Like, for example, I don't know, what is this, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, I did this. I traded Antonio Brown at peak Antonio Brown level. And Kevin White, when he was going into his third year, he had maybe, you know, for Mike Evans. Now, again, I lost that next year because Brown was way better than Mike Evans. But then for the last 2 years, Evans has been much better. So something like that could be something that people try to do here, is where you flip that Tyreek, Stephon Diggs, Hopkins, et cetera, for a Jefferson-like receiver. because I think what you're talking about is your value. You're insulating your value by having a younger guy.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. How many 14-yard receiving seasons has Davante Adams had?
1,400, you mean?
What did I say?
14-yard. I think he's had all of them.
Oh, 1,400.
Zero?
He's at zero. He's never done. How many 1,000-yard receiving seasons has he had in his seven seasons?
Two.
One?
Two.
Two.
He had 1,300 and change in both of them. So it's like, we assume that Davante Adams, he's durability hasn't been on his side throughout his entire career. I don't know if he's played one or two seasons where he's had 16 games. But it's a durability thing. It's an age thing. It's a, he's touchdown reliant. His production is very similar to Dez Bryant's production. When Dez Bryant was the wide receiver one, it was heavily reliant on touchdowns.
Yep.
And I don't see that changing because Aaron Rodgers is a fucking maestro in the red zone, and he's just an efficient quarterback, and Davante Adams is his guy. But injury could derail, similar to what happened with Dez. He got too many injuries later on in his career, and it kind of slowed him down. Hakeem Nicks wasn't as good as these guys were, but Hakeem Nicks, the lower body injuries eventually brought him to nothing.
They nixed his career.
So, nice, nice. So I'm just saying, I think Adams is, it's hard. I just can't consider him at wide receiver one. I just can't do it.
Well, and yeah, I'm with you because, I mean, again, when you rely on those touchdowns, how long is Rodgers going to be with him too? He's a free agent after next year's another one, and they're in a cap situation. They might extend him. They might trade Rodgers. Like, who knows what's going to happen there? I look forward to the same thing with Allen Robinson with the Bears. You know, I've been low on Robinson, I guess, career-wise. I think people have known that.
You
but,
and I both,
I mean,
yeah.
But he's been a good player in Chicago, but he's not elite. So he's a free agent. Do the Bears tag him? Do they let him go? Now, again, with his age, like I would let him go if I'm Chicago. With the cap this year, mm-hmm. You could go out and you could sign Curtis Samuel and maybe Corey Davis for what one Allen Robinson costs. You know what I mean? And then you think of that in terms of fantasy. It's the same thing. Like you're going to pay a high price for a name and what they're going to do maybe next year. And that's maybe 50% of the value. You know, talk about this 3-year thing, Izzy, and then maybe the year after is going to be 30%, then 20%. It's got to be scaled, something like that, where people really value that next year. But it depends on your owners, Izzy. Some people love the young, sexy team. Some people like to win now. You know, there's everything in between.
But you can win now with young. Like, that's
right.
The thing.
Right.
And to be honest, like the Allen Robinson thing, I would say that you and I are both wrong on Allen Robinson for a couple reasons. I think he's had a very solid career given the situations that he's been in. Like if you put Allen Robinson with Aaron Rodgers and have him be the wide receiver one in Green Bay, I think he's a top five dynasty wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the talent is there. It's just unfortunate based on the situation. We took an account, like for me especially, I took an account his situation as well when I'm doing my dynasty rankings. But it's like, you know, I think he's been on the short end of the stick most of his career. Now, the reason why he's not like DeAndre Hopkins level is because DeAndre Hopkins did it with any, like it didn't matter who his quarterback was. DeAndre Hopkins just got it done. So that just shows the level of eliteness. So like every, you know, I get your point. I just wanted to make sure that I don't think we're dogging necessarily Allen Robinson and saying that he's not, you know, a great receiver. It's just, yeah.
Mm-mm. But now's the time to flip. Just like it was for Dez.
No, not exactly. Yet. You got to wait until he moves teams or gets a different quarterback and then you flip him. You got to get some hype.
But you can't do that for this next year. And that's the same thing. Maybe do that with Tyreek and Stephon Diggs right now. While they blew up, you do it right now.
I agree. So a little bit sidetracked with some veteran wide receivers. So we'll get back to the cornerstone rankings. Nick, everybody's got Jefferson at one, and now it's up to Waylon. Who do you have at number two?
CeeDee Lamb. A big CeeDee Lamb fan. I know he operated out of the slot a lot. Produced a ton with Dak. Dak went down. It was musical chairs. Maybe guys couldn't even throw the ball really well. Who knows what happened? But the talent's there. He produced when he had a viable quarterback. Showed that he was tough after the catch, everything. And I like him better than anyone left. Rookies easily. And then these incoming class, I still have him over them.
Izzy, who do you have at number two?
Yeah, mine's I struggle with this one. I actually prefer T. Higgins.
Okay.
And for the main reason was there's kind of a log jam in Dallas. So, and Gallup and Cooper is still under contract. Gallup, I think, has another year, and Cooper has two.
Yeah, Cooper has.
Unless they offload him.
Yeah, Cooper's locked in, I think, for longer than that.
For two. I mean, yeah, but they can get out of Cooper and after 2022, maybe?
They can get out of it after this year. His dead cap hit is $28 million this year. They can't cut him. After this year, it's only $6 million, and his cap hit is $22 million. So if he's not worth $22 million, they can get rid of him with only $6 million penalty.
Okay, so yeah, so it's after this year. So, I mean, as of right now, knowing the uncertainty, I mean, I'm guessing they signed Dak. I just don't see how they can let him walk. With Gallup and Cooper being there for another year, I don't think that offense, when, like, CeeDee Lamb didn't even hit 1,000 yards.
So with what?
I get that, but they were on pace for, Dak was on pace for 6,200 yards passing.
Yeah.
And I think CeeDee in the first five games was on pace for 1,500 yards. And he fell short of the mark because of a Dalton, and there's a couple, like Ben DiNucci was in there for a game, maybe two. But it's, I don't know, I'm just more comfortable with T. Higgins being the guy, you know, with, we know who the locked-in quarterback. I know Nick isn't a big fan of Joe Burrow, but we know that T. Higgins is going to be with Joe Burrow for the next few years, and we know that his best receiving competition is Tyler Boyd, unless they draft another receiver, which we know they probably won't in the first round because they need to address other things.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see T. Higgins being a better fantasy producer this year, given the situation. So I'd rather have T. Higgins right now than CeeDee Lamb. I'd much rather take a CeeDee Lamb and take a Higgins plus for CeeDee Lamb and take the exchange there. And then if I want to, I mean, at some point in time, it's hard to flip back in the same league. But when you play in multiple leagues, if you play in 10 leagues, I like saying, okay, I have four shares of T. Higgins and let's say four shares of CeeDee Lamb. If you trade one in one league, you can buy them in another league. It doesn't have to be the same league. You're still, your entire portfolio as a whole can reflect your decision making. Like, so if I trade CD in one league, I can buy him maybe for cheaper in another league later. Because it's difficult to retrade for the same player in the same league. I've always had a difficult time doing it. I'm guessing most people do as well. So I don't know. I just think T. Higgins is going to have a better season this year. And I just like the situation he's in a little bit better.
So here's the next question, Izzy. Okay, mm-hmm. So you're kind of dogging a little bit of Tyler Boyd. You're talking about situation. So Tyler Boyd's cap hit number is 9.8, 10.1, 10.3 the next 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very reasonable. So Tyler Boyd is going to stay in Cincy. Amari Cooper likely is gone because they're going to have to pay Dak, you know, $40 million, whatever it is. I can see Cooper gone after next year. So if Cooper's gone, and Gallup is gone, let's say, mm-hmm. after 2021 season. I mean, the competition's heavier in Cincy, right? For two more years.
We don't know what's going to happen after this year. But what I do know for this year, I'd rather take a T. Higgins, who's, you know, across from Tyler Boyd, than a C.D. Lamb that's across from Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup with still an unsigned Dak. It's just, there's far more uncertain. Like, I know T. Higgins' situation. The only uncertainty with T. Higgins is, you know, when does Joe Burrow come back? Is he 100%? But the risk of that is very light. So I'm playing this from this next year, how do I feel about T. Higgins? Because I feel like as talents, they're pretty close. Like, I don't think CeeDee Lamb is significantly better of a receiver than T. Higgins is.
Oh, I love T. Higgins. T. Higgins was my wide receiver four pre-draft last year. I love T. Higgins.
So
I still like him.
From a talent perspective, their talent to me is very close. So I'm going to give the edge to somebody where I know the situation I like more currently. And so that's where the edge is. I think T. Higgins is the most underrated, one of the most underrated young wide receivers right now in Dynasty.
But you also said earlier in the podcast, you look 3 years out.
Right.
So 3 years out from now, we already know Dak is better than Joe Burrow. Right? I mean, there's no debating that. So 3 years out from now, why would you not have CD attached with this elite quarterback when Burrow, we don't know what's going to happen.
Right, but we don't know. I'm projecting 3 years out, and I'm saying, okay, they're both 21, 22-year-old wide receivers. They're both going to be in their mid-20s in 3 years. They're going to be young. They're going to have that profile. I can't project what's going to happen in 2022. Hell, we can barely project what's going to happen this year. Mm-hmm. So I'm just taking what I know and I'm saying age into consideration. With the 3-year window, it's mostly due to age. At what age will they be in 3 years? And right. what is their value going to do in those 3 years? And the one thing we know, age is undefeated. With this situation, it's like, well, they're both young. And right now, I like Teagan's situations more. I don't know where they're going to be in 3 years. It's hard to say. But from right now, they both have the same age, but one has a better situation currently, in my opinion. So I'm taking T. Higgins. I wouldn't draft him that way, obviously, because CeeDee Lamb has significantly more value. But my preference is, in 3 years, if I were betting who's going to have more fantasy points over the next 3 years, I'm putting my money on T. Higgins based on what I know as of today.
So I'm going to throw a curveball. We all have different wide receiver twos for cornerstone rankings. So Waylon had CD, Izzy has T. Higgins, and mine is Jamar Chase. I would rather take the shiny new toy than these guys that I already know what their question marks are. CD Lamb's question marks are crowded wide receiver core. Izzy, just listen. I don't know. Like, there's no guarantee that Dak's back. I already feel like Dallas has mistreated Dak so much. Like, and why are they mistreating him this much? You know, is it set up for something? There's no guarantee he's back. He should be. I think the odds are he's back, but between the crowded wide receiver core and question marks around Dak, I dropped CD down a little bit. And T. Higgins, like, Izzy, I was afraid you weren't going to say something, but Joe Burrow may miss time this season. And he's not going to come back firing like he was last year right away. He's going to take some time to come back. Like, it's going to be a slow and steady return. I don't think he's going to be hot out of the gates. So T. Higgins' production is going to have to wait a little bit. And then I look at all the people beneath him, and I'm looking for somebody whose value will rise quickly, who will be like the next, you know, big hype. And for me, it's Jamar Chase. I feel like, you know, he's right now, he's kind of bulletproof just because he's going to go up. And the other guys have question marks. So that's my wide receiver two in cornerstone ranking. So
I mean, you're amplifying the question marks for these two wide receivers as if you're amplifying Higgins and CD Lamb's question marks, and you're ignoring the fact that Jamar Chase hasn't even been drafted yet. Like, we don't even know where he's going to go.
Yep. He had, like, right now, no question marks. Like, you know, his only question mark is everything. Like, so I would rather take the unknown over the guys who I already know who where their deficits are.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I don't think their deficits are enough to justify having a rookie that hasn't been drafted yet ahead of them. Like, with other guys, you could.
It is for me, and it's a stock, you know, it's a Wall Street thing for me. Jamar Chase will go up. I already know what's happening with both T and CeeDee Lamb are going to be a little bit slower to return to value.
Okay.
And like the same thing with Dak. Dak had a significant injury. So even if Dak does come back, it's like, what does Dak look like?
I don't know. I don't think that's. I think once again, I think you're over exaggerating the effect that Burrow and Dak will have in terms of their comeback and how
it's enough for me to pivot, though. It's barely enough, but it's enough. So I'm going Jamar Chase. Nick Whalen, wide receiver 3.
Man, Izzy's fired up today. I'm going to go with neither T. Higgins, not Jamar Chase. I'm going with Devonta Smith.
And ooh, look at this guy.
I know people are going to talk about, but his weight. Okay, we don't weigh people. We just let people play football. And this is the thing. When him and Judy and Waddle and, who am I missing, Ruggs were all recruited, Devonta Smith was the highest recruit going to Alabama. People forget about that. The national championship game. You need someone to step up. Tua looks off the safety. He throws to Devonta Smith to win the national championship game. As a freshman, he outproduced Judy his last year at Alabama. And then this last year just completely crushed it. He's such a good route runner. I know people are going to be worried about his size with physicality. There's also an advantage to that. There's less of him to hit. And he's so silky smooth. He has the best hands on the team of those four guys. And when you want to go to all this, I think there's a group of them that are all pretty close there. So we're kind of splitting hairs. But I'm going to chase the guy that is the best route runner and to me has the least amount of question marks, and that's Devonta Smith.
Wow. Izzy, who do you have at number three?
Not Devonta Smith. I think he's a great player, but not Devonta Smith. It's CeeDee Lamb. I think we've covered CeeDee Lamb, so I don't need to get into it. So we'll save some time here. CeeDee Lamb is the third guy that I would want on my team if I'm just removing the value component of it.
Yep. And Waylon, you're right. We are splitting hairs. Like, I've got Jamar Chase at two, but CeeDee at three, and it's kind of pretty easy to have him there. So Waylon, we get to take a pass, and we're going to go to number four. Who do you have at four?
Four is Jamar Chase for me. I like Jamar Chase. I don't love Jamar Chase. There are parts of his game that I want to see more varied releases at the line of scrimmage. I saw people get into his chest. I want to see more crisp routes. I think he's, I'm not going to say he's N'Keal Harry, who N'Keal Harry just benefited on his size and leaping ability that in college guys, and that's how he got by. But he's got a little bit of that in his game at times. So that's my concern. The other concern I have with Jamar Chase is this. He didn't play last year. He got 0% better from what we can tell. And I don't like that. You take a whole year off of football, that's not good. Generally, you generally get a little bit better. Like, if we took a year off from podcasting, we would get worse at podcasting. Now,
could we be practicing.
Right. Could he be working with people? Yes, he could be, but we don't know that. What I know is I know some of these guys on this list played football and got better. Justin Jefferson got better. Last year, LSU, boom, rookie year, got better. We could see that. So for my value rankings, I can't have him as high as I would love to have him, thinking he did sharpen his game up. So that's why he's number four.
By the way, the all-time funniest thing about last year is there are a lot of players that decided to take the year off, and many actually were transparent and said that they were doing it so they can prepare for the NFL Combine. They specifically said that. And now the Combine's canceled. So there are all these reps at 225 on the bench and like all this training to get a faster 40 time. And obviously there's pro days, but it is kind of funny there's no Combine. So
everyone's running a 4.3 their pro day, JP. You know how that is.
I know. I think 4.3 is slow.
Yeah.
I think, didn't Rashad Bateman just run like a 4.24 or something crazy?
That's like a 4.36, and then somebody else ran a 4.39. Tylan Wallace.
That was me. I just actually, while we were recording the podcast, I ran a 4.4 laser timed 40 in my podcast room.
It was only 10 yards, but he got it done.
It was. Izzy, who do you have at number four?
Brandon Ayuk. I don't know. I love Brandon Ayuk. From a talent perspective, you can argue he's in the Higgins, CeeDee Lamb tier of what they did in their rookie season production wise. The one thing that I don't like about Ayuk is Kittle's back, Debo's there.
Back.
They're not a historically. Shanahan has passed the ball more than he did. I think it's a Jimmy Garoppolo issue. I'd really like to see them move away from Jimmy Garoppolo and try to get a better quarterback. But from an age and talent perspective, I'm taking Ayuk. I think he's an absolute stud of a receiver. And I can see in 5 years where we look back and say, Ayuk is the best receiver out of this class. Like, it is possible for him to be that. I say T. Higgins is underrated. Ayuk is right there with him.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair points. At number four, I also have Brandon Ayuk. I think we're going to get some strange looks from Nick Whalen. I think that the 49ers will address the quarterback position this year, and I believe that we're going to start seeing flashes of what we saw from Shanahan in Atlanta. So I'm excited for what Ayuk can produce. And in fact, on my list, I had T. Higgins crossed off and then Ayuk slotted in before him. So like that's, I feel that strongly about Ayuk this season, but he does have some competition. So his concerns are similar to what CeeDee Lamb's concerns are, but just without a quarterback currently. So, but from a profit gain standpoint, as soon as the 49ers, because I think they will address the position, as soon as they do, it's an instant win for anybody who took Ayuk earlier.
Yards per game, he was the second. He was second behind Justin Jefferson amongst rookies this season.
Here's something that I just want to address. One of my buddies pointed this out. He brought together three coaches that have had their first 4 years as a head coach. How many winning seasons does Kyle Shanahan had as a head coach?
Winning?
Yep. How many winning seasons out of four?
Out of four?
One. One, right?
Well, he had the playoff run two years ago? Was that the only one?
Maybe he went nine.
I know the answer. That's
I'm gonna guess two. I'm gonna say one with Atlanta, one with San Francisco.
Well, he wasn't head coach there.
No, he's saying head
coach. Oh, you're saying head only, okay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say one with San Fran. Two with San Fran.
He said one. So here's his record: 6-10, 4-12, 13-3, 6-10. We look at Kyle Shanahan, and he's the guru.
Hey, he's a golden.
Am I wrong? Anybody that goes there is going to just blow up everyone. I mean, you know, Dante Pettis, watch out. He's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. Tevin Coleman, Jermichael Hasty, he's the sleeper to get everybody in that offense. Everyone chases all the time. And I think I like Ayuk. He was underrated to me as a route runner. He's got super long arms. He's a good athlete. He and Deebo Samuel are the same guy. And just as you said, I mean, they're not. They play the same role in the offense.
Ayuk can be Deebo can't be a wide receiver one. He can't be an alpha to me. Ayuk can do it all. I don't see Deebo being that guy. I think Deebo is always a guy that you manufacture touches to. You get him on intermediate routes. Deebo doesn't win down the field. Ayuk can. Like, he is your complete receiver. My bold predictions, when we did bold predictions at the beginning of the season, I said that Ayuk would have the most fantasy points amongst rookie wide receivers. I really believe in Ayuk's talent. And what we saw this season was a guy that could be an alpha receiver. And I get it. I think Shanahan is a bit overrated, but he's good enough to manufacture touches to his best players. Like, he finds a way to get his best players touches. And I think confidently that Ayuk is going to be by far the most target getting receiver in that offense. I think it's going to be a gap. And Kittle's obviously there, and I think Kittle's a fantastic tight end.
Well, is he getting 1,400 yards again? That's one question. But I have to challenge you on this. Ayuk can win down the field. He's the complete receiver. He averaged 12.8 yards per reception last year. Deebo Samuel averaged 14.1 as a rookie.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that they were playing quarterback carousel this past season. And they're doing everything they can just to get the ball to their best players. That's based on what I saw. That's how it seemed.
Well, maybe. I mean, I don't think Jimmy G's anything to write home about. So, him throwing to
it was Jimmy Kittle G, and then it was Beathard, and then it was Nick Mullins.
No, but I'm saying even his rookie year, for Debo's rookie year, throwing to Deebo. Oh, Jimmy, it's not like, it's like, oh, well, he made him. Like,
but here's the thing. With Deebo, it's like, I would like to see their advanced metrics in terms of their intended air yards, because what Shanahan does really well is he creates plays and manufactures touches in a way where players are able to get yards after catch, whether it's running backs, tight ends, and receivers. You look at Kittle, he broke the record for yards after catch in 2018.
Yep.
And then Deebo, yards after catch in 2019, was through the roof. All his running backs, the same way. You look at Jimmy Garoppolo's actual, like, passes down the field. He's not ripping the ball down the field. He's getting the ball to his playmakers, and then they're creating the yards after catch. Deebo is fantastic. The reason why Deebo was propelled as high as he was in his rookie season in terms of rookie rankings, the reason why, if you look at Deebo and say, what is his best attribute? A lot of people will say yards after the catch.
Yep.
So he fits what Shanahan likes and what he wants to do. And Ayuk's the same way. He's really good after the catch. I think Debo's better after the catch, in my opinion. But Ayuk, I think, is the better wide receiver all around.
I mean, Deebo did better with less targets than Ayuk did. I mean, as a friend, you don't compare. I know it's different seasons, but to me, what JP's worried about situation, Jimmy is still there. We do not know an answer beyond that. That team overall is getting worse. But what are they built on? They're built on running the football. Okay, look at teams that do this outside zone, big bootlegs with a sift block backside or leaking out backside. Tennessee, right? There's only no one. I mean, AJ Brown, and you got Davis, but Davis was wide receiver 30 this last year. Look at Green Bay. There's only room for one. I know Aaron Rodgers is elite, not in that situation. I'm just saying, overall, I don't know that either one of them is going to be amazing. And he's stuck in that offense for at least three more years. So, you know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't see 1,200 yards, 1,300 yards happening with Kittle there too. Kittle's the best player, period, in that entire offense. And then it goes down from there. So, you know, if Kittle's not going to be getting 130 targets, you know, that's a whole nother debate. But it's tough for me to have Ayuk at four when you still have some uber-talented receivers that might not be stuck in a situation where they might be... Because Ayuk could be the third option in that offense. That could be an option. Or the second. I doubt he's going to be the top. So you're hoping Chase or Smith isn't going to be the top option in offense? Is that what you guys are saying?
I mean, I have CD. I mean, I think you have CD ahead of Jamar Chase, and he's not the top option in his offense either. You know?
Yeah, so but he did. But Lamb did way better than Ayuk did.
No, he didn't. I mean, Ayuk averaged more yards per game.
Okay. Ayuk had, let's see here, 15 less targets, but he had 200 less yards, 14 less receptions.
I'm talking about yards per game. He only played 12 games.
He only played in 12 games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but his yards per reception is going to be... So we're talking about that. Now you're going to count the games the Lamb had with a guy that can't throw the damn ball, and it's going to be equal to games?
Well, can anybody in San Fran throw the ball?
Nick Mullins is one of the best backup quarterbacks in the NFL. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but he's not good. I mean, who's better, Dalton
better
or Mullins?
Better than Ben DiNucci. You can't even go there.
Ben DiNucci played two games. He played two games.
Ben DiNucci's terrible.
I know, he played two games.
So are we going to take two games off of Lamb's total then? Come on.
No, but he's better. He's better than... Dalton's better than Mullins.
No.
Yes. But anyways, we won't have a conversation about that. Either way, the reason why he's four and not two is I view C.D. Lamb's situation and T. Higgins' situation as better. And that's why if I put Ayuk on Dallas and C.D. Lamb on San Fran, I have Ayuk at two or three, and I have C.D. Lamb at four. So, I mean, to me, like I said, he's in the same ballpark. I think Ayuk is just as good as C.D. Lamb and T. Higgins are. I think he's, depending on how Justin Jefferson, they might all four be like the same type of upside receivers at the end of the day. So for me, I'm putting them in order of what situation I like the best and based on what I saw last year. And I think it's obvious that I don't like Ayuk's situation as much as I like CD and T. So I have him behind them. But in terms of a talent, he's up there.
Now, in this, I mean, this is why we have these conversations, because I think everybody learns. I do agree with you that Ayuk is underrated, and I think he's a good talent to go and acquire, because I don't think people give him the love that he deserves. So I'm with you guys on that one. To me, four is aggressive.
Well, I think it's crazy to have Chase at four. I mean, personally, I think if you watch Chase, and we'll get into this later, I think he's far lower than, he's pretty down there for me. The same complaints people had to DK Metcalf in terms of, oh, he only wins this way in a couple different ways. I see a lot of that with Chase too. Mm-hmm. And DK Metcalf's been a great receiver. He's got Russell Wilson's. He made it work. But these are the same concerns I had with DK Metcalf that people are not. You mentioned. You actually mentioned in why you're worried about Jamar Chase. Yep. I have the same question marks, which is why I have him. People view him as the, untouchable wide receiver one. No, that's he's going to come in and dominate. I just think that there's far more issues with his game than people are identifying. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so we'll get into that later.
So my five, it'll be easy. I have Higgins. We can skip that.
Okay. I actually have Chase Claypool at five.
Woo.
And a lot of it has to do with Ben's returning, and he's not great, but we know what Ben is. And we know what Chase Claypool did with Ben as the wide receiver three there. Juju's exodus is what did Juju have? 120 targets? Something wild? Maybe more? While I'm talking, you can look it up. It's just going to be Deontay and Chase Claypool. They have James Washington, we know what James Washington is. He stretches the field. But the thing with Chase Claypool is he's a freak athlete. He's 6'4", he's 235 pounds, maybe 240 pounds. He's a big boy, and he plays big. He's good after the catch. Like, I underrated Chase Claypool. I completely ignored him in rookie drafts just because of, Deontay. I was a big Deontay fan. So for me, it's like, I almost viewed it, and this is kind of a mistake that I made. I was like, Deontay is going to be the guy because he's elite, in my opinion. I think he's a really good wide receiver, and he was my buy of the year, right? He was my sleeper of the year. So I was buying into Deontay Johnson thinking he's going to be the guy instead of thinking, well, Chase Claypool might be good too, and they can make it work. I didn't think the offense would be as good as it was, so I completely ignored Chase Claypool. And now I'm looking back and saying, okay, well, we saw that Chase Claypool was good enough, and now Juju's gone. They're not going to re-sign Juju. So we have to prop up Chase Claypool, and he might be the guy where we look back at the end of the season and be like, wow, I cannot believe we let Chase Claypool fall to the fourth or fifth round in startups. He might be that guy. It's in the realm of possibility. So the range of outcomes for me is Chase Claypool could be a second round startup pick next year, and I would not be surprised. So he's at five for me. I like his situation. Ben gets the ball out quick. They know that Ben is deteriorating, but they're maximizing what he does. And I like it.
Nice. And we covered my five, which is T. Higgins, exhaustively. So we can skip over that and go to Nick Whalen at number six.
I'm going to not debate Claypool yet. We'll wait on that one. My six is Ayuk. So that's pretty simple. We talked about him. Mm-hmm. Yep. I like him.
There you go. Izzy, who do you have at six? Anybody new?
Yeah, Bateman. I love Rashad Bateman. And he's starting to get the love that... Here's the thing with Bateman. I find it difficult to find a fatal flaw with Bateman. He's all around. He is so good as an all-around receiver. The one question mark you can have is, and I don't think he ran a 4.3. I don't see 4.3 at all. I love Bateman. He's my wide receiver one. He is not a 4.3 guy. He doesn't play like a 4.3 guy. So even if he did somehow run it, it don't matter. I would have said high 4.4s would have been a great score for Bateman. Athletically, I wonder if he has the elite upside. But as we've seen in years past with guys like Michael Thomas and DeAndre Hopkins and Devonta Adams, you can be elite without having elite elements to your athletic profile. So I don't know. I think he's overlooked. Nick has mentioned, you know, sitting out a year. I get it. It's tough to accept a guy sitting out for a year. But he did come back and he played a little bit. So did he play better than he did the year before? No. He was still great. But he wasn't what he was when he was playing in 2019. I don't know. I see it looking and saying, you're a Minnesota Golden Gopher and you're doing what you did. Situation matters for me. I like him a little bit more than Chase. I think they're both in my tier one rookie wide receivers. I wouldn't be upset if somebody had Chase at one, but for me, it's Bateman. And I like him more than the rookies from last season, the other rookies remaining from last season. Mm-hmm.
His fatal flaw, you talked about athleticism, but to me, he's not sexy. And people want highlights. They want, you know, people jumping over people or running fast by people. Like, that's what a lot of people care about. And it's like, this is about football. And you had said it. I mean, he reminds me the most of Michael Thomas. He's a guy that gets it done, brings a lunch pail. He has purposeful routes and releases, and that's amazing. He was my wide receiver one going into this last year. He's dropped a little bit, not much. They're all in the same tier to me. They're all good players. I like that pick.
Very good. I will go Chase Claypool with my wide receiver six and cornerstone rankings. Whalen's again throwing out some wows.
Well, I was wrong, Claypool. I didn't think he had enough, but to me, it's tough because Big Ben's arm is deteriorating. I mean, that's basically a fact at this point. And is he coming back? We don't even know who's the next quarterback. Said, yeah. You want to talk about what
they said? Yeah, they said he's coming back.
I know, but I mean. We'll see. And Drew Brees might come back too. I mean, you know, but like what's left at quarterback after Ben's gone or if Ben only makes a little bit? I mean, and that's tough.
The talent, I mean, Chase Claypool had 110 targets last season with Deontay Johnson getting a target. Deontay Johnson led the league in when he actually played the games, not when the games he left early, in targets per game. And they had Juju, who almost hit 100 receptions last season. And Chase Claypool still had over 100 targets. I mean, he's going to get 130 targets this season. You can guarantee that Chase Claypool is getting 130-plus targets this season, unless he gets hurt.
Well, and Izzy, what happened when somebody left and then all of a sudden a receiver had to step up and be more than a wide receiver three in that offense? Juju fell down. And is Claypool good enough? Because right now he's like taking on the third or fourth, I mean, maybe second or third best corner, if we're being honest, not getting a lot of safety help. He had one huge blow-up game and then a good week 17. Other than that, I mean, his next best game was 88 yards, 75. I mean, he had one huge game, and he gets these handoffs, and things kind of went down from there. He had the big blow up. He's your top guy over Jamar Chase?
Yeah. Yeah, I like, because I know, well, one, I've seen him play. Half his games, he had over 50 yards receiving as being the wide receiver three. A lot better than I thought he would need time to develop as a player. He came in, he was ready. He was wide receiver ready. Like, he was ready to rock right away. I don't really put much, the touchdowns don't matter to me. I'm not looking at touchdowns. That doesn't matter. I'm looking now at vacated targets, the targets that he had last season as being a rookie and being the wide receiver three in the offense. I know what Big Ben is. The Steelers always find a way to make it work. I trust the organization. I think he's in a good spot. And they're cap strap too, the Steelers are. Mm-hmm. So I can't see them bringing in competition right away. I think they're going to have to draft some other competition. And I don't think James Washington's the guy that you should be fearful of. So it's like, he is the wide receiver too there. Now, I think there's a big difference between the issues that Juju had with being it's hard being the wide receiver one, but I think it's a lot easier being the wide receiver two. It's hard to say, well, can he make the jump from wide receiver three to wide receiver two? It very seldom do you have defenses where you're going against two elite cover corners that you're not going to be able to shake. Like, so I'm less worried about that. I think it'd be an issue if he was a wide receiver too, and now he is the guy. But yeah, I think we kind of got bored of Clay. Like, he was sexy to start, and then we got bored of him. But when you look at his size, his speed, just his athletic profile, and technicality-wise, he's not on the same level as some of these guys. He might grow into it, but I kind of like the situation he's in for this year. Ben gets the ball out quick. They don't really have a running back. Are they going to draft one? They can't sign one. So they have to draft a running back. When are they going to do that? They might be a team that's going to air the ball out, and Ben's going to get the ball out quicker than anybody in the NFL again and just manufacture touches for these receivers, whether it's Deontay or Claypool. And this is like the upside of 2021 for him.
But that's not good for him. His game's down the field. Right. And he's going to get more safety help. That's part of it. They're also going to be missing a couple offensive linemen, one retired. I think another may have retired or is a free agent. So more pressure on Big Ben, arms less, can't go as deep as much. And you talked about over 50 yards. He had 50 yards often. And one of the games
as a wide receiver three.
What?
As a wide receiver three.
Yeah. But they threw the ball like every down. But anyways, just like Dallas. Okay. But anyways, so I mean, a lot of those, he had eight or more targets in all but two. So he got littered. I mean, you should get 50 yards if you have eight or more targets, right? Is it that impressive?
It's simple for me. He had 873 yards as the wide receiver three in that offense, and now Juju's gone. So if he doesn't get hurt, I don't know how he doesn't eclipse 1,000 yards. It just doesn't process in my mind. With Chase and Bateman, as much as I love Bateman and as great as Chase is, I'm not guaranteed I'm getting 1,000-yard receiving performance out of them next season. And if Chase hits 1,000 yards and these other guys don't, he's going to be more valued and he's going to be the guy that everybody wants. And that's what I'm after.
You have five guys that topped 856 yards out of the rookie class last year.
Yeah.
You don't think Jamar Chase is going to be one of those guys or Bateman or, you know what I mean? That's what you're doing, JP, you know, with having your incoming rookies up there. I just don't know how we're like, oh, these guys aren't going to do anything.
We don't know.
Because you know what you have, the bird in the hand versus, you know, what could be. I mean, you're saying none of those guys can get 1,100 yards?
We don't know.
And he's a wide receiver too, for sure. For what, 2 years?
Yeah. Yeah, and I can't say much because I do have Jamar Chase ahead of Chase Claypool, so it's one Chase or the other. But Waylon, I think a big part of Chase Claypool's game you're missing is that he gets a lot of opportunity out of the backfield too, whether it's short swing passes or actually running the ball and arounds. Like, so if Izzy's right and they don't address the running back position early in the draft, Chase Claypool might have additional opportunities at the backfield too. So I think in addition to more targets, he's going to have more opportunities, and I like his game as well. So I get the hate though. I can see why you feel that way.
I'm just more hesitant. I mean, than a Chase.
I shift quick. I mean, I shift quickly. I don't need that much time before I give somebody, I go in with my rankings and how I expect things to turn out. But as soon as they don't turn out the way that I was expecting them, as Hurley knows, well, I'm as quick as anybody to flip on my initial
fluid
thoughts. So it's like, I always keep
that
it
way.
Yeah.
It's more information. When you get more information, you should change your outcome. I mean, he's my 11th guy. So we're not, I'm just,
I just can't believe that.
So Waylon, who is your seventh guy? Cause we got to get to the next one here. That Chase Claypool was my sixth. And now we're at the fresh beginning of number seven.
Bateman. Bateman's my seven.
Who is? Oh, Rashad Bateman. So we don't got to go too deep into that one. I do notice that. Oh, so you have, three of the rookies in your top seven. So that's kind of cool. It's leading with Devonta Smith, Ja'Marr Chase, and now Rashad Bateman. So, Izzy, who do you have at number seven?
I have Chase. Chase Ja'Marr at seven. Chase. Yep, we talked about it quite a bit. So it's for the sake of time, we'll kind of skirt past that.
Same thing. And I got Devonta Smith at my seven, and it's another. As I look at the rest of the guys that I have to choose from, I'm willing to take that shiny new toy with the unlimited possibilities going into the NFL draft over some of these other guys. So I guess I'm more of an opportunity guy. I'm showing myself here. So number eight, Waylon, who do you have at eight?
There we go. New guy. This is a guy that was second coming out of high school for me. A guy I think that is insane in terms of potential. The floor might be a little bit lower, but I think he has better receiving chops people are giving him credit for. I have Jaylen Waddle as my eight. I think Jaylen Waddle has his skill set. I mean, as a punt returner, is one of the best punt returners in NCAA history in terms of a high level. Is receiving. I mean, he can win in so many ways, and he has the physical gifts. Now, again, does he have the height or the mass? No, he doesn't. But he is something that NFL teams crave. And when you look at some guys that win with speed in the NFL, he can run that hitch route and have so much wiggle room. And then it's catch me if you can after that. So yeah, I really like his potential. This one is, yeah, it's a potential pick, but I like Waddle a lot.
There you go. Izzy, what do you have at number eight?
I have, I struggled with this one between two guys, but ultimately I went with Jerry Jeudy. So Nick mentioned Devonta Smith being an elite route runner and just smooth. And I went with that with Jeudy too last season. Just smooth. And even watching him play for the Broncos, he's smooth. Like route running, check. He checks the box. Like he knows what he's doing. The one thing I worry about Jeudy and why I think it might be the reason why he's may not make it in the NFL is I don't really like his attitude. Takes plays off. I think he actually, don't quote me on this, but I believe he criticizes quarterbacks. Nick, are you familiar with that?
Or I'm not, but what I'll add in out of college, I saw him being a little soft over the middle too.
Sure. You can make an argument for that. I just don't know if he's got,
yeah,
I think he's got the talent. But I don't know if he's got the it.
Exactly.
So, and I don't know if he has the desire to be the elite receiver. I don't know. There's something I can't put my finger on it. And I get it. Drew Lock was not great. But if you look at Courtland Sutton versus Jeudy in that offense, Courtland Sutton is night and day better than Jerry Jeudy.
My boy. Let's go. Talk about
Yeah, and listen, Jeudy was my one last season. Like, I love Jerry Jeudy in college. Like I put emphasis on the technicians. I love the technicians in the college game because it's just, for me, it's safer. Like if you can be technically sound, it makes up for a lot of the athletic deficiencies that you may have. And Jeudy has speed. He just doesn't have the pure physicality of it. So I don't know. I'm worried about Jeudy based on an attitude perspective. I still love his technical side of his game and hopefully his desire. I just don't know if it changes, but yeah, he's kind of got that Laquan Treadwell to him, which I don't like.
I like how Izzy takes Jeudy higher than all three of us and then begins to rag on him.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like we have him at, I mean, eight is pretty damn low for a guy that was a first round pick that is as talented as he is.
Yeah, I mean, Sutton's coming back. The tight ends are really coming on in that game. The quarterback's a huge question mark. Mm-hmm. They don't have a high draft. I mean, there's so many things against Judy. If Judy can make it work, then props to him.
But, I mean, right now, this also has the fact that I'm looking in Vegas, Denver is the favorite to land Deshaun Watson.
So that would change my mind. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm including everything into this. Like, I'm not viewing this is Drew Lock's offense moving forward. I think they address the position. I think they end up forking over the equity to make it happen where they get a legitimate quarterback.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. So for me, my wide receiver 8 is Jalen Waddle. And Jalen Waddle is what I hoped Ruggs was going to be last year. So I'm hoping and praying that he comes on the scene much quicker. I'm still not going to give up on Henry Ruggs, but I took such a hard bath on Henry Ruggs last year, taking him ahead of Justin Jefferson, like in, I think, 3 spots where I had like a 7th or 8th pick. And like, I need to make up for it now. So like, Jalen Waddle is my makeup pick. Like, super fast guy. I just want to see one of these, like, you know, Al Davis guys just make it work. I got to see it. It's got to happen. Super speedster wide receivers. Exciting. Number 9, Waylon, who do you got?
This one might get the most controversy. It is not a rookie from last year. It's another guy from the 2021 class.
Mm.
At 9, I have Rondale Moore. And I absolutely love Rondale Moore. I think Rondale Moore has some questions because of how he was used at Purdue. But in terms of his work ethic and attitude and athletic ability and strength, I just think he has to be used in the right way. He's a little bit of a maybe a Debo, you would say, Izzy. You know, maybe they'll have to use him that way. But I think that he could be a superstar if used in the right way, because he's different. And that's why I have him above Judy and Claypool and the rest.
Wow. I always feel bad for like Devy Leagues who took Rondale Moore, because he just like, that was a depreciating asset in like a couple of years. Like, he was so high up there. Maybe he can recoup. Who knows? Izzy, what do you got at 9?
Devonta Smith. It's hard to add on to what Nick was saying earlier. There's definitely question marks with Devonta Smith in terms of, we can go ad nauseum over the BMI issues and all of that. He's got Ike Bruce to his game. Like, he's very Ike Bruce. But Marvin Harrison is never again. So I don't see the Marvin Harrison thing. I think Marvin is a unicorn. And I think a lot of it had to do with, he's elite and he had Peyton and the whole thing. It's just not going to be the same with Smith. But Isaac Bruce is a phenomenal wide receiver. And I can see Devonta Smith, like, I get the shades of that. So I like Smith. I do. I just can't put him ahead of, and this is where I decided between Judy and Smith. Like, do I just take the new, and thinking about it more, I wouldn't be opposed to having Smith ahead of Judy, just because it's like, well, I get to reset the clock and see if I can get a guy that actually, and he's a gamer. Like, I will say, Smith is a gamer, whereas Judy is kind of soft. Smith is a tough bastard. Like, he's just a football player. You know what I mean? Like, you see him on the sideline, he's got like the lame ass shoes, but like, he doesn't have any swag whatsoever. He's just there to play football. Like, it's like his mom dressed him for the game, you know? So it's like, I like everything about Smith. I just wish he was a little, just bigger. Like, I don't know. And he plays bigger. He does. You know what
it reminds me of, Izzy? It reminds me of that GIF that I put out there where it's the East All-Stars. Yeah. Everyone's out dancing and he's Derrick Rose. Like, let's just play.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is totally. And I will say this. I will, just for Nick, I will move Smith up ahead of Judy, because I've kind of talked, based on attitude alone, I see Smith as a guy that wants it and will. His floor is D.D. Westbrook. Very similar athletic profiles, monster production in college in their final season. D.D. Westbrook was a Biletnikoff challenger at Oklahoma. And I think D.D. put up multiple seasons of 61 or 71 receptions and 700 yards, something like that. So that's his floor. Smith's floor is D.D. Westbrook, and those first two seasons for Didi actually weren't that bad. So, yeah, Smith, I'll move Smith ahead of Judy. Judy down to 9.
Wow.
No, Didi only had one big year in college.
No, I'm talking about NFL.
Oh, never mind.
Yeah, but in college, he did his final season was a big season.
Oh, 80, 15, 24, and 17 touches.
Yeah. Very similar to Smith's breakout season. Their size, their BMI, almost identical. Profile-wise, they are spot on. So, like, Smith's ceiling is Bruce. His floor is Westbrook.
You're taking out the breakout season of him beating every Alabama receiver in 2019? That's not the breakout?
Or 2020? I'm taking it out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, 2020, yeah. But
yeah, 19, though, when he beat everybody. And then this one, he won the Heisman.
There you go. At wide receiver 9, I have Rashad Bateman. If, in fact, his rumored pro day 40 times are true and he's in the 4.3s, I'm going to regret this. I know it's not, but if somehow he plays that fast, I'm going to regret this because that's ridiculous.
I don't know who's doing the time, this Exos thing. Like, are they doing this? Is Exos doing the times? Because if so, if they're the ones doing it, then it's obviously there to promote their brand.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we're able to get guys with the training, but we're able to get them in the 4.3s. You know, it's just, there's no shot.
Yeah, it could be. That's true. I mean, it would be bad for business, to be honest.
Yeah.
Just, he's a 4.440. Finally, the end of our list, wide receiver 10, beginning with Nick Whalen. Who do you have?
This is tough. I was between two. I was between Claypool and Judy, and I picked Judy for the simple fact of I think he retains more value right now than Claypool. And it was just rough in Denver last year. Like it was just rough. He was the least efficient out of these rookie receivers last year in terms of targets versus what he got back. I'm just hoping he can rebound a little bit. So that's kind of what I'm going to.
There you go. Izzy, who do you have for your Mr. Irrelevant cornerstone rankings?
It was between two guys. And I struggled with it. I was going to pick Pittman. Pittman was going to be one of them. Okay. But the Wentz shit just does not. I like Pittman. I like what I saw from Pittman last season. If he can stay healthy, I think he'll be a great receiver. I like everything in Indy, and T.Y. is aging, and he's on his last legs. And so the situation is there for the taking. And I'm almost talking myself back into Pittman at 10.
We're watching. Well, look at his facial expression.
Who's the other guy?
I'm struggling. I'm taking a shot on the injury-prone guy. Like, I don't know if Rondell Moore is the durability thing with me. Like, maybe he's going to have that issue. But the thing that gets me with Rondell Moore, it's like, I loved Steve Smith. Loved Steve Smith. And it's like, the odds of Moore being the next Steve Smith type are very low because there's only been one Smitty. But from a raw athletic perspective and just the gamer perspective, like he's got a great attitude. He's talented. Technically, he's talented. Physically, he's talented outside of just size. Durability is the big question mark with Rondell Moore and overall just versatility. But he's got that upside to his game.
Can I convince you, Izzy?
Sure.
All right, so here's the personal story, and I've shared this on a few other times. I don't know if you guys have heard it though. So I after his freshman year, so what 2019? We just turned 2019 in the winter, maybe. I went to this coaching clinic in Chicago, and I sat in a session, and it was Jamarcus Shepherd was his wide receivers coach, and he's like the passing game coordinator or whatever at Purdue, and he was at Western Kentucky. A year or two after I was at Western Kentucky. So I was like, oh, cool. I didn't know this. You know, I'm sitting in the session and getting, you know, they list off their resume, whatever. And so between sessions, I went up to him and, you know, I just kind of talked a little bit about Western so I could get in, you know, and talk to him a little bit about plays. And then I was just like, hey, so how good's Rondell Moore? Like, I just couldn't not ask him, you know? And he's like, honestly, it was tough because he walked onto campus and he's the best receiver on our team, you know, and hasn't even played it down. And this is what sold it for me on Rondell. He told me this. So after the Ohio State game, right? The game where he broke out, he was the best player on the field as a freshman, won the game, was insane, right? He gets a text from Rondale at like, I don't know what he said. It was like 11, 12, 1 a.m., whatever it was. You know, if you're 18 and you upset Ohio State and you were the best player, like, how are you not out partying, right? Like, just like celebrating. Rondale texted him and was like, oh, hey, coach, I missed this block in the third quarter. You know, if I do this technique, it won't happen again, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's locked in still after upsetting Ohio State. Dope. And to me, that just means he's not into all the distractions and everything else that people are. He wants to be the best football player that he can. So does that convince you of Rondale at 10, Izzy?
Yeah, I feel better about it. I mean, it's a sick story. Sick story. And I wish Rondale was more of a, what made Steve Smith what he is Steve Smith was a he wanted to kill, like, lined up across from me. He wanted you dead. Like, he wanted to embarrass you. It was personal every time Steve Smith took the field.
I hate him because he destroyed Chicago in the playoffs one time, and it was not even close. And I'm just like, I hate this person because he's so little, but he's like a honey badger.
He's an animal. You can't get rid of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an animal. And I don't, like, Rondale doesn't have that, like, aspect to him. It's like, so was that what made Steve Smith? And I'm thinking it might be the reason why Steve Smith was what he was. Is that part of him that was like
that? Have you seen guys try to tackle Rondale, though? Like, he's like, again, that maybe after the injury, he hasn't been the same. I haven't dug a ton into this last year, but I mean, he breaks tackles. It's like, dude, you're 185. How are you doing this?
Yeah, he's nuts. So I had somebody else at wide receiver 10, and I'm changing it to Rondale Moore after that story.
Who's coming with your 10?
Who's coming with me?
He's the opposite. My 10 was a bit of a surprise. I had kind of like a fun surprise to do, but it's like, that's pretty easy for me now. But
was it Mims?
Yes, I am a Denzel Mims fanboy, and I fully can see like either Zach Wilson or Justin Fields. What?
This is why I'm hot.
There you go. I could see like a Fields playing quarterback, and like, who knows what's going to happen with Jamison Crowder. He's got an out in 2020 after this season, 2021. I think he counts for like 10 to 12 million against the book. So I could see the New York Jets maybe moving on from him. But I think Mims is the guy. I think he's the wide receiver one, and whatever new quarterback comes in is going to spike his value. I love Mims, but I can't beat that Rondale Moore story because Rondale Moore is the opposite of Jerry Jeudy now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, you're not going to hear that story from Jerry Jeudy.
No.
And I love Mims. Huge on Mims, JP. Here's what concerns me. The Jets have so much cap space. How do they not go sign Will Fuller, Corey Davis, some of these receivers? How do they not?
They need a running. I mean, they need so much. That's how. They need so much. They are traditionally a team that brings on veteran wide receivers like crazy. So you're probably right, but the information I have now, I could see Mims being the guy. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah. And that is our wide receiver cornerstone rankings. That was fun. We had some fireworks, some surprise picks in there. We're going to look back on this one maybe in a few months and kind of see where we landed on certain guys, because I got a feeling there's going to be a lot of movement. It'll be kind of fun to see where we're at with people. Maybe like after the season started or something.
Yeah, I'm always down on rookies until I know where they land, and then I'll move them up. So I think with Chase and Bateman, this is, unless they go to a really dog shit situation, I don't see how they go much lower than they currently are.
So maybe this would be a fun series to revisit post-draft then to see if, you know, what kind of movement we have. That'd be fun.
Absolutely.
Well, that's the end of the Dynasty Cornerstone wide receiver rankings, but it's the beginning of something else. So what I want you guys to do is pull up your Philips Hue app and select the dimmed. Izzy, can you see my lights went dim there?
Yeah.
I'll do it again.
Dim.
And I want you to say, hey, Google, play some peaceful music at a low volume. Here's a Spotify playlist called Peaceful Piano. It's actually playing. I'm getting myself in the mood. This is awesome. All of these things because it's time for Final Thoughts with Nick Whalen.
So there's a lot going on in our industry, our community lately, and we need to kind of check ourselves. None of us know the future. We're all taking educated guesses, and we can learn from each other and ourselves. I mean, today I learned things from Izzy. I was learning things from JP, and the attacking and being pretentious, like we know everything, it helps nobody. It doesn't even help yourself, because if you're not learning, you're falling behind. So if you don't like what's going on in the world or Twitter, control what you can control. You can control your tweets. You can control who you follow. You can control how you react and what you do with your time. Let's all be better.
I love it. That's all we got, you guys. On that note, that's the end of the Dynasty podcast, Dynasty Trade Calculator podcast, episode number 201. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. The main handle is at FF Dynasty Trades. Check out our website, dynastytradecalculator.com. Known for its historically amazing rankings, it's fully dynamic with over 800 different combinations. I want you to check that out. It's even free for just the regular rankings, but gotta have a subscription to do the modification. So thank you for listening. We'll check in next week. Bye.
Bye.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.